We start not at the beginning, halfway through. I'm aware that some of you are almost as old as me. Some are a wee bit older and some are a wee bit younger. But you've heard so many talks on prayer. You've read the books. And you're sat there going, go on then, tell me something I don't know. And the practice, I probably won't. I just felt very challenged. But I just felt God say, we need to go back to basics. Because sometimes we can get so sophisticated that we miss out the really simple stuff. So that's where I'm starting. John Wesley. John Wesley said, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. God can do it all. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He doesn't need us. But he loves us to engage with him. He loves us to come into his presence. He loves us to be with him, to communicate with him. And I think if there's anything we're all agreed on, well, maybe we'll do a survey. Does anyone here feel they pray enough? Right. No, I'm in the right class. You see, we need to pray more. It's, for some reason, it's the bit that gets squeezed in our lives. We might do our Bible readings. We might come along on a Sunday. But life is busy, and it's very often the prayer bit that gets squeezed out. And I just want to be really clear at the beginning. Prayer, each time I use the word prayer, you could replace that word with chat. You're chatting with your Heavenly Father. And it's chatting with, not to. When we pray with God, not to God. It's communication, it's two-way. Now, because of all that is happening in the church at the moment, because we're looking for someone to replace me and we're looking, we've had lots of different prayer meetings, both in Stroud and with the area leaders who came across to Stroud back in January. And one of the words that we got was from this man, you'll be familiar with Roger Cole. Roger, great friend to Stroud. And he said, there needs to be much prayer. Maybe a week of prayer. This will lead to the agreement of the church on the way forward, and they will get it. He said it's pointing towards unity. And one of the things that thrilled me so much when we had our first meeting was that sense of unity. We're in this together. As a church, this isn't about someone doing something and we'll just sit and watch. This is about the unity of God's people going God's way. We need to pray more. We need to follow Jesus' example. Jesus prayed regularly. And it just struck me this week. We need to think about that. He was Jesus. He was the Son of God, and yet he still needed to pray. How much more me? How much more you? So what did Jesus say about prayer? What did he do when his disciples came to him and said, come on, then teach us about this prayer thing? Well, in Matthew 6, it says this. It says, firstly, I just want you to note, three times Jesus says, when you pray. It doesn't say if you pray, it says when. So there is an assumption that you being good, godly people will pray. And then he said, this is how you should pray. So, when you pray. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name. No, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Another translation of that word is testing. Lead us not into testing, but deliver us from the evil one. And then this isn't in the earliest manuscripts, this next line, but it was added in later. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus goes on, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You're probably very familiar with that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. I used to, when I first became a pastor, one of the people that made me most welcome was Father David, the father at the local Catholic Church. Father David could get through the Lord's Prayer in under 20 seconds. I've never known anyone do it so fast. He was so familiar with it. But I wonder, do we need to take time? Because Jesus didn't say, pray like this. He said, this is how we should pray. It's a framework. Take time to think about it. What does it mean? Hallowed is your name. We'll get to that in a moment. Also, I want you to note the Lord's Prayer is not just, it's not an individual prayer. Note how it's all plural. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us today. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not in temptation. It's a recognition that we're in this together. Jesus was talking to, he was talking to just a few disciples at the time. But through all hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, he's still talking to us. Saying, this is for you, all of you. And we're very rich, actually. I wonder, can you imagine what it was like in the first century when they didn't know when their next meal was coming from? There was no Sainsbury's or Tesco's or food bank. There was no Baker's or anything on the corner. Where was their next meal from? They just said, please, give us, Jesus said to them, say, give us our daily bread, our needs, not our wants. So, how are we going to pray? I just want to help you. This was a mnemonic I found very early in my Christian life, and it helps me because I'm aware that we don't come to God just with a shopping list. Please don't come to God with a shopping list. So, the acts of prayer. A, adoration. Adoration is praising the Lord for being the awesome God that he is. In Isaiah 25 and verse 1, it says, O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. Let's be a people who adore, marvel in the glory and the splendor and the wonder of our God. What a great place to start. So that's A. C is confession. Anyone else mess up occasionally? Keep short accounts with God. Confession is where we say, sorry, God, I've blown it again. It says that he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. God remains faithful. God loves it when we come to him. When we say, God, I'm sorry, I've messed up again. If you think he can't help you, if you think you've gone too far, just read your Old Testament. Look at how many times the Israelites blew it again and again and again. And every time God says, just come back to me. Confession is where we get ourselves right with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's A and C. The next one is T, and that's thanksgiving. We thank God for all of the wonderful things he has done. I couldn't narrow this down to one verse. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. If any of you can't think of something to thank God for, think a little bit harder. Make a list. Once you start listing the things you should be grateful for, the list goes on and on and on. Thank him for it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. That's Psalm 107, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you know there are some people, when adversity comes, when the stuff doesn't go the way they want, they turn away from God. And there are others who, when it doesn't go their way, turn towards God. Please don't be the former. I've met too many people who said, my prayers didn't get answered. And they just, bit by bit, walked further away from the one that can do all of life for them. Let us be the ones who turn to God in thanksgiving. I always say, start your prayers with thanksgiving. I know that it didn't work for the mnemonic. But adoration, thanksgiving, let's get them first. And then last but not least, supplication. Supplication is where we bring our requests. You could put intercession again, but it didn't work. Bring your requests and others, for others and yourself, to God. We're asking that his will be done on earth as in heaven. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't worry. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And Ephesians 6, 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayer for all believers everywhere. Now, if you think, that's all right, Martin, it's okay for you, but sometimes I just don't know what to say. Well, God's got that covered as well. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way, he's been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Trust the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. This heavenly language between you and God. You may not even understand a word you're saying, but God understands. Pray in tongues. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, two or three weeks ago, my auntie phoned me. She'd been trying to get hold of me. And when I got hold of her, we chatted. And she said, I like talking to you, Martin. You listen. And I thought, I'm well trained. But she then gave me probably half to three quarters of an hour worth of the woes of her life. Her accommodation that she can't sell. Her health that was not great and has not been great for a number of years. The fact that her husband died a number of years ago and she's on her own and she really feels the loneliness. The fact that her only son is miles and miles and miles away and he comes often as he can. But she was just pouring out this tale of woe. And then she says, and I have tried praying, she says, but your God doesn't answer me. And I said, well, God always answers, Carol. I said, the thing is, he doesn't always do it the way we expect. He said, but why won't he just answer what I want? And it made me think of this. You see, sometimes we think all we get is lemon after lemon and lemon, and we pull up, but God is not a slot machine. It's not just whatever you want, you will get. Sometimes, and this was what I had to explain to her, and she got it. Sometimes we pray and God says, yes. Hallelujah. We pray and someone gets healed, and it's like, it's a miracle. God is so good. Thank you. Now, other times we pray and God says, no. That wouldn't be right for you. Or not in this circumstance. And sometimes it's only later that we really understand how God's no was God's best for us. But there is one more answer to prayer. And this is the one that I think we find the most difficult. Wait. But I'm fed up of waiting. But wait is still an answer to prayer. You can, again, read through your Bible. You can look at situations. Look at Zechariah and the birth of John, and he and Elizabeth. They've been waiting years and years and years. And then God said, now. You can think of other situations where God comes not in our timing, but in his timing. And God's timing is always perfect. Nikki Gumbel said this. Nikki Gumbel, praise be his name. No, Nikki Gumbel, has done phenomenal work for the kingdom of God, particularly with Alpha. But he said this. He said, when we pray, God hears more than we say. He answers more than we ask. Gives more than we imagine. In his own time and in his own way. When we pray, please let's not get into a mentality that says, I've prayed, I've pulled the handle. God, where's my answer? If so, we would all get the lottery numbers every week. If I was given the lottery numbers in advance and I knew they would answer, of course I'd buy a ticket. But I'm not wasting my money, because that's not how God works. But here's an idea for you. When you pray, do you just pray and that's it? Or do you write it down? The Friday morning group, by the way, if you want to get help with your prayer, Friday morning, 7 o'clock at the cross. What a great group of people, the prayer warriors. But every prayer we pray gets written down. Faye writes them down in a prayer diary. Over the last year, of the prayers that we prayed, not all of them got answered. Well, not the way we were hoping. But 115 prayers were answered last year. This year, so far, 15 of the prayers that we prayed, and some of them are big prayers, have been answered. How do we know that? Because we've got the diary and we tick them off. God is faithful. God hears us. Psalm 34 says this. Sorry, that was prayer diary. Psalm 34 says this. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all of his goodness. Look at that. He sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. He says, taste and see. And then he says, worship. Worship isn't just sung worship. It's not just what we do here on a Sunday. Worship is the adoration bit. And then, if we're honest, we can be like the father sometimes, can't we? The father whose son was throwing him into the fire and the water, he was really in a bad way, this boy. And the disciples tried to pray and not a lot happened. And the father came to Jesus and he said, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? Jesus said, anything is possible. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father cried out, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And I think that's honest, isn't it? For some of us, we know what God can do. We're not daft. But this just seems that bit too much for me. Help me in my unbelief. It's an honest prayer. We need to be people who come honestly before God. You can have all the words in the world, but what he's looking for is your heart. Corrie ten Boom. If you don't know, Corrie ten Boom, survivor of all that the Nazis did. She said this, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, receives the impossible. Faith. Faith is when we trust God to do what he said he will do. Last week, Cedria gave us a word about how we needed to hang on to our treasure. And Jeff interpreted that treasure as being our faith. Faith is a muscle we have to exercise. Whether you think your faith is big or small, God can use it and does. But you and I have to use that faith. We have to pray. We have to put our faith into action. Every single goal that you aim at but don't kick the ball, you are going to miss. You've got to at least try kicking the ball. You've got to at least try praying. So for us as a church, we've got to put our faith into action. We've got to hang on that word that Cedria gave us. We've got to take this faith and we've got to use it. And one of the ways we're going to start using it is in prayer. Because Roger Cole reminded us, we've got to be people who pray. John Wesley said, nothing happens but through prayer. God hears our prayers and answers. So as a church, we are going to have a week of prayer. Starting on Monday the 13th of April, going through to Friday the 17th of April. We're going to meet each night at the cross at 7:30. On the Wednesday, by the way, Roy has agreed, that's going to be an evening of worship, adoration, thanksgiving. But each night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 13th to the 17th of April. And then again on Wednesday, the 24th of June, again, we put an evening aside. Let's put our faith into action. Let's kick some balls at the goal. Never used a football analogy before. Not sure it works. So, let's be those who hang on to faith. Guard it. Use it. So, the next thing I'm going to say is on Sunday, the 21st of June, we're going to have a year-to-date open meeting. What do I mean by that? At the start of the year, we all wrote prayers up. This is what I'd like to see God do. Have you got on? Has God answered your prayer? Have you remembered to pray those prayers again? Or was it just that Sunday? We're going to have an open meeting. Because what happens is once we start to give testimony, once we start saying what God's done, we encourage one and we go further and further and further with what God can and will do. So, you don't have to wait for a prayer meeting in order to pray. I know that's radical. But you can do it any time. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. And especially not if you're driving. You don't have to use special prayer language. I don't understand sometimes when people, you're having a normal conversation, then you hear them in prayer and it's, thou Father, thou brother. Where did that come from? Use your normal everyday voice and your everyday language and your everyday vocabulary, because this is a conversation between you and God. You don't have to be in a special place. You can and should pray anywhere and everywhere. No prayer is too big or too small for God. You might be praying for a parking space. You might be praying for a headache. You might be praying for someone to be set free from cancer. You might be praying for jobs. You might be praying for healing. You might even find yourself praying for the resurrection of the dead. No prayer is too big or too small for our God to handle. Do you remember what Roger talked about a couple of weeks ago? About being indignant. David was indignant about what this giant called Goliath said about his God. We should be indignant about our God. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing. And prayer is a conversation. So sometimes we should shut up and listen. It's not just about our voice. God wants to talk with us, communicate with us, reveal his love to us, reveal himself to us. That often happens when we shut up. And it's not about me, as if he should do things my way. I know it's a lyric to the song. But you know, sometimes we can get very self-centered. Maybe I should say, sometimes I can get very self-centered. And I want this, and I'd like this, and I'd like to see you do this. God, let's pray for God's heart, for God's world. Because it's not all about us. And we should pray with people, not just for people. I don't know whether you've ever been in a situation where you said, oh, I'm really sorry that's going on. Would you like me to pray for you? Yeah, I'll do that in my prayer time. Let's stop. I'd love to pray for you. Can we do that right now? Your embarrassment is nothing to what will happen when they encounter God. The Spirit of God moves in situations like that because you've made yourself vulnerable. I've lost track of how many times I've done it, and only once have I been refused when I've offered to pray with someone. Only once. So I'm going to finish with a simple thing which hopefully will provoke you. Just do it. And every time you see the Nike tick on a trainer or on an advertising hoarding or on a t-shirt, I want you to pray. Because sometimes that's how God works. You just need the nudge. Just do it. Let's be a people of prayer.